to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 444, to be broadcast on Wednesday, June 4th, 2025, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Franz Dortch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. We might be able to respond. The Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening on Facebook Live, you can comment right down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago we had the Ride of Silence. I talked about that. It was kind of a bust. It's time to get back out, folks. We lost a good friend last couple days ago. Glenn Newcomb, longtime rider from Hampton, Connecticut, was hit by a truck at Route 6 and Bigelow Road in Hampton on Friday. And he passed away Saturday night, surrounded by his family. And anyway, there is going to be a celebration of life. I will mention it on the show because kind of like to... Anybody who's out there listening who knew Glenn, you know, we'll talk about that. So the details are really scarce, and please be careful out there when you're riding your bike. You know, cars and trucks they're not forgiving at all. So you really, really need to be careful. So I did find that I have a bunch of comments here, and I'll mention them in the show. A lot of people commented on Glenn, said some really nice things. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in the show. On a positive side, the Giro. It's over. That's it. It's done. Oh my God. I say this every single week. This is one of the most exciting bike races I have watched in years. And it's just anything can happen. And if you don't believe it, you missed stage 20 of the Giro. We will talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Chapeau to Jumbo Visma. What a smart cycling team. That's what I've got to say. And, you know, that as far as EF goes and UAE, no excuses. You guys blew it. Anyway, moving on. We'll talk about it more in the show. Mechanical Minute and Ron's Tips of the Week. Listening to your body. And if you can't, maybe it's time for a cycling coach. That's what I say. You know, there's things that your body will tell you if you ride your bike a lot. It'll tell you that maybe you're riding your bike too much. It'll tell you that maybe you should ride your bike a little bit more. But, you know, generally speaking, your body will communicate with you in ways that will hopefully be good for you. Or possibly, I say possibly, save your life. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I am yet going through another one of those life episodes. And my bike has been the great speaker of all times, just like it was when I had my heart issue over 4 years ago now. And, you know, the heart issue, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I'm pretty open book about this. But, you know, I have had trouble breathing going up a hill. That's all. Everything else was fine. Just had trouble breathing going up a hill. I was not in the greatest of shape or felt like I wasn't getting in the greatest of shape. I'd only been on my bike for about a month and a half. But, you know, it just spoke to me, and then that got me into getting it checked out. And the next thing you know, we were, having open heart surgery. Hey, no heart attack, but my body spoke to me. So you need to listen to your body. Chris Carmichael of Carmichael Training has some great little advice here. Three tips to understand what your body is trying to tell you. Listen to your body. Number one, listen to your body. It's a common refrain in the world of athletics, but what does it mean, and how do you actually do it? You know, it's you got to listen to your body when it hurts, but not during the last 30 seconds of an interval, because your legs are always going to be screaming, and then that doesn't really count. And I forgot to mention earlier, the other reason that I tell you that my bicycle has been good to me here is that I started having problems with my power on my bike, and I've been talking about this for a while, and the power issue that I have on my bike is apparently related to, after months of trying to figure this out and getting more and more frustrated with the fact that I was having a lot of difficulty climbing hills, my cardiovascular system's in great shape. I got that tested. I got my legs tested to see if anything was going on there. One thing leads to another. I go to a neurologist. The neurologist then orders an MRI. The next thing I know, I'm talking to a neurosurgeon, because guess what? I have a pinched nerve in my neck. Yeah, like all of my neck. It's not a real pretty scene. But the good news is it's repairable. So I will be having major surgery on the 24th of June.
Can't wait.
Fran can't wait. I'm going to see if I can be on the air right after that, you know. Because the surgery's on Tuesday. I could be ready for the following Monday. You never know. And I'll show you a beautiful little neck thing that I have to wear, because I have to do that for a little while. But they're going to completely rebuild my neck, because I got a mess going on in there. And the good news is, well, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is I've never really been able to afford a titanium bicycle, but I'm going to have a brand new titanium neck. Oh boy. So anyway, let's go back to listening to the body. So why does this relate to the whole story? Well, it's very obvious. My body was telling me that something is very, very wrong. So therefore, I wish I had listened earlier, but I didn't. And, you know, we went down a lot of different routes here. We went down the Lyme disease route, and we found out that I have chronic Lyme, which is another contributor to yet all sorts of problems that you could have with your body. And we live up here in the Northeast, where Lyme is kind of a thing. It's a thing. It happens here. It definitely does. So, you know, I'm working on that. I'm treating that. It's a long-term thing, and it's going to go for about a year. But that's another story, because the big story is it's not 100% the Lyme. As a matter of fact, maybe not even 90% the Lyme, or even 50% the Lyme. I got a problem with a pinched nerve in my neck. So how do you get that? Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. I'm going to blame this one on Mom, because Mom was a mess. By the time she hit 90, she was not moving real well, and she sounded like a popcorn popper walking down the hallway. She just really had lots of arthritis and issues, and so I think that probably that side of the family is where I got this one from. But, you know, whatever. We're going to fix it. So the good news is I can fix it. The bad news is we couldn't really fix it with Mom, because by the time it really got to her, she was too old to have any kind of surgery done. So, and we didn't even bother exploring that at that time. But anyway, listen to your body. Your body will tell you things. It'll whisper little secrets in your ear, and it'll tell you that, hey, that was a little too hard. Or maybe you need to go a little bit harder if you want to get faster on your bike or stronger on your bike or whatever it might be. But mostly, and the big thing that I like to encourage is remembering to listen to your body when you're tired. But let's see what Chris Carmichael has to say. If possible, train with both heart rate and a power meter. Okay, it's not like something that everybody can go out and afford, but heart rate monitors are pretty inexpensive these days, and you can even get these little guys on your wrist that are, you know, a watch and a heart rate monitor all at the same time, and they're not perfect, but they're pretty accurate. I'm wearing one from the A company, and they are, you know, it's spot on with the strap that I wear when I ride my bike with my computer. So it's they're a lot more accurate than they used to be. I'll say that. So a heart rate monitor is a really good thing, and it's relatively inexpensive, and it really gives you a clear picture about what's going on inside your body. It may be a little delayed in the amount of information it's putting out to you when you want to see it, but it's still going to be pretty close. Power meter, that's a lot more expensive endeavor, and I know a lot of people who ride and train with power meters, and you know, they're sold on it because you can once you figure out what level you can work out with your power, with your fitness threshold, you know, you can learn a lot from it. So and we're all different. We're all real different. It depends on the size of our body, it depends on our level of fitness. There's so many different things. But anyway, you need to look at that and see if it's, you know, in your price budget. And if it is, then you can do that sort of thing. And you'll find that the power meter is really going to help. It's going to be a little bit more fine-tuned, I would say, than the heart rate monitor is. But the heart rate monitor still can give you an awful lot of good information. We used to do something really strange back in the day, and that's because I'm old, and we used to do something really crazy. What we would do is we would check our heart rate when we woke up in the morning, and before getting out of bed, just lying there real still, check your heart rate, see where you are. Are you at 50 beats a minute? Are you at 60 beats a minute? Are you at 70 beats a minute? Whatever it is, you write it down, you record it. That's the first day. Do that for 7 days. And, you know, all this is going on while you're working out. And so you're going to come up with an average number, basically. You're going to divide the number. You're going to add it all together, divide the number by 7. And there you have your kind of average resting heart rate. It's not perfect, but it's a base that you can work off of. And then the other thing we would do is when you would check your heart rate in the morning, if it was higher than your average or than your normal low heart rate, I should say, than your low heart rate, then maybe that wasn't such a good day to go out and go hard on your bike. Just an idea. If it was returning back to its normal state, then you were probably okay to do that sort of thing. But chances are you were training too hard, too often, too fast, too much, the two disease, as we like to call it. So, you know, you do have to be careful about that. The older I get, the more aware I am of it, and the better practiced, I'm going to say, I am about paying attention to the fact that it's okay to go out for a slow ride. Slow is the new fast, man. I mean, if you are feeling tired and your body is feeling tired and that's how you're responding, it's probably because your body's tired. Not rocket science here, folks. This is just kind of common sense. But anyway, knowing these little pieces of information really, really make they make understanding your body a little bit better. Chris, in this Carmichael training website, it has here a rule called the relief rule. And it's the idea of not doing something because something causes, if the idea of not doing something causes me genuine relief, then not doing it might be the right decision. That's kind of a good one. I like that. Usually when it comes to a difficult workout, this person envisions himself not doing it if they immediately feel guilty. That means it's time to suit up and do a workout. But the idea of not doing it brings a flood of relief. Well, that says something entirely different, and it's probably worth listening to. Where's the point where you draw the line between, am I being lazy or am I really truly tired? Well, you can always go back to that heart rate thing that I talked about. That's a very, very general way of doing it. And it certainly will give you the information that you may want to hear or may not want to hear. But it's still a great way of seeing where you're at. So it's a little tricky and it takes a little bit of fine tuning, but if you are good at it, you can probably train yourself. You can probably keep yourself very fit and very comfortable on your bike for many, many years down the road. Now, let's go to the person who has trouble with their own personal motivation, or they have trouble coming up with ideas as to what they can do. That's when you go to the next more expensive item on the list besides the power meter, and that is you hire yourself a coach. And it's not a bad idea. It just gives a different perspective as to what you could be doing to help improve yourself when you're on your bike. The other thing that you could do is you could talk to your cycling friends, ones that you actually depend on and rely on, the ones that you can trust that will give you good information. Don't ever underestimate the value of the old guy. You know, you're out there and you're riding along and you ride alongside someone who is not of your speed and not of your caliber, but been on their bike for a really, really, really long time. Ask what they think. It's a good thing. That doesn't cost you the coaching fee. That just gives you good advice from a good, solid cycling friend. So there's ways of doing this. So stop assuming that you should feel a certain way. You know, I've only ridden twice this week, so I shouldn't be tired. Not necessarily true. These are quotes. I just took a rest day, so I should be totally recovered. Absolutely not. Don't go with that either. I only climbed 1,000 feet yesterday, so my legs shouldn't be sore. Stop. My heart rate is normal, so I shouldn't be feeling terrible right now. Not always true. The reality is sometimes you need more than one rest day. Sometimes you need two. Sometimes you need three. If you get to a point where you really have your body dialed in, you're really starting to understand it best, I have a theory, and my theory is only go hard 2 times a week. So if you're riding every single day on your bike and you're starting to get really tired and you go out and you hammer it out every other day because you want to do easy day, hard day, you're probably eventually breaking your body down, and that's probably not a good idea. So you will eventually hit a failing point on that. And you can get yourself to a point. I remember many, many years ago, I got to that point, and it was the 4th of July. 4th of July is the middle of summer. It's the best time to be out riding your bike, right? I didn't want to look at my bike. I was angry with my bike. My bike was heavy. It was slow. I didn't feel good when I was on it. I lost my enthusiasm. Why? Because I trained too hard. I trained too hard early season, and I put a lot of miles on, which was really, really nice, but I suffered from the two disease, as I like to call it. Too soon, too fast, too hard, too much, too whatever you want to call it. But that's T-O-O. Got that? Yeah, the two disease. So you need to understand and listen to your body, because what happens with cycling, which is a really interesting thing, is that unlike other sports, and I'm going to pick running as the one that I know fairly well because I spent a long time doing that too, when you start pushing yourself too hard and you're running, you almost always immediately get injured in some way. You pull a muscle, you strain something, you've got shin splints, you've got all these things that just kind of pop up and you go, well, that's kind of weird. Now I can't run because my body says I can't run. And you try to gut your way through it and then you get even more injured. On the bike, you ride and you ride and you ride. You get on the bike the next day, you ride a little longer, ride a little faster. And you just keep riding and it's like, wow, this is great. Oh God, I feel great. And then one day you wake up and go, I don't feel good. And because cycling sneaks up on you, it's just kind of a fun thing that I learned over the years. I don't know if I call it fun really, but it is something that really helped me over the years to understand that you can ride yourself into an overtrained, level very easily without realizing you're doing it. So, you know, listen, actually listen to your body. And it's hard. You have to make a conscious, deliberate effort. And it's an ongoing process. And every year you learn a little more. If you want to really be scientific about this, you keep a log and you write it down and then you look at it. And it always, almost always, if you hit that wall, that problem area where things are starting to not feel so good, it's probably been written down from the year before, and you can kind of follow the history of it and see if you're, you know, in line for doing that same thing that you did the previous year and missing out on two or three great weeks of riding because you weren't smart about it. So listen to your body. That's Ron's big tip of the week. That's what I'm going to talk about for today for our cycling tip of the week. And, you know, we need to all listen to our bodies. It's a really good thing. All right, we're going to get into the show. I'm going to start with Glenn. Glenn was, he's an old friend. I've known him for years. I've known him ever since I moved up into this area, which was all the way back in 1976. So it's been a long, long time, and he was a local business owner, and Glenn had a store called Water and Air, which was a waterbed store, but they also sold other various furniture items too, and beanbag chairs and lava lamps and all those fun things that the hippies all wanted back in the day. So, but that's the era that he came from. And he also was very good friends with another person who we lost only a few years ago, Scott Johnson, who owns Scott Cyclery in Willimantic. And they were buddies. They grew up together in Hampton. They're, you know, they were locals and also became local business people too. And Glenn, he really, really, really liked to ride his mountain bike more than anything else, it seemed. He was really happier, it seemed, when he was on his mountain bike. But he also rode on the road, and he rode, you know, long rides on the road. So he was versatile, very versatile. Super nice guy, quiet demeanor, and really fun to ride with. And safe to ride with, too. Very, very safe. So we don't really know what the details were. I tried to get some sort of information from maybe a state police report or whatever. They had to close the road for many, many hours while they reconstructed the accident scene. So we're not really sure. And I don't have anything but secondhand information at this point in time. So I really can't say. So I figured what I would do instead is run a couple of stories by you that I pulled off of Facebook because, you know, everyone's writing about this because everybody knew Glenn in one way or another. And so I just wanted to mention a few things. There's a woman who comments here that years ago, Glenn had rescued her after she had flatted when she was really far from home on a lonely back road. He drove by, stopped, and backed up to see if I needed help. When he got out of his truck, he had on bike shorts, and I knew everything was going to be okay. That's Glenn. He's a good guy. And then next comment here, Glenn was such an advocate for cycling in our area and just a pleasant person. I was lucky to ride and do trail work with him over the years. Another person writes that he was so kind when I first started riding the Mellow Monday at Goodwin. So sad to hear the news. The Mellow Monday is a mountain bike ride put on by the Quiet Corner bike group that's up in this area, by Quiet Corner Nemba group. And someone else writes that Glenn was an amazing cyclist, an advocate, and absolutely all-round good guy. I had a rare opportunity to talk with him at Nemba meetings and rides. And he was an incredible person, advocate for riding, and he loved riding. So nice to be able to have ridden and done trail work with him. So those are some of the positive comments that were made, about Glenn. But there's even more, because he was a member of our Thread City cycling group too. And I have mentioned and sent out a post on the Thread City Cyclers Facebook page that I was, I said, "We will miss Glenn and his infectious smile. I'm dedicating today's Bicycle Talk radio show and podcast to him." So that's why I'm talking about this. It's a sad thing, but, the good news is I had a lot of great rides with him. And he used to put on these great parties out at his house. That was where we did that tri-state ride,
yes.
I think we did, right, Franny?
Yes.
Yeah, so Glenn lived out in Hampton, and Hampton is close enough to the Rhode Island and Massachusetts border.
Right.
So you could do a loop from his house and you cross over all three states. So
right.
You do Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. And so, and what we would do is, and then we would go back to his house afterwards. And this particular note here says, "I also rode with Glenn several times and appreciated his outgoing and friendly manner. I have fond memories of," this was to Kathy, his wife, "you and Glenn hosting several annual after ride cookouts in your yard for
right.
for the TCC participants. Many of us cooled off with a swim in your pond."
And the pond had it had.
Come closer to the mic, please. I'm not recording you.
The pond had non-stinging jellyfish in it.
Right. Right.
Which I found fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a pond. It's just it's like a farm pond kind of thing. So a neat place. He was just a really good advocate for the community and really good advocate for cycling. He worked at Scott's bike shop after he retired. After he sold his store, he was bored, so he went down and he worked for his friend Scott, because he loved bicycles. He loved being around bicycles and bicycle people. So he ended up working in the store. So a lot of people will remember him from the fact that he, was at the bike store a lot. And someone else put in here, "We're all richer for having a little piece of Glenn in our lives." And, it's just so many people said so many nice things. It's really a sad thing when we lose someone like this, but I just wanted to give a shout out to Kathy and the rest of the family, because it's really too bad that things like this happen. We don't have any details. I have no idea, what really happened, but I'm sure those details will come out eventually. And there's just so many people that write about rides that they went on with him and how pleasant he was to ride with, and that's exactly what it was. He was just a great guy. He was a passionate cyclist. His spirit and love for the ride inspired us all. There you go. So it's going to be the roads are going to be a lot quieter without Glenn out there. That's very, very sad. My point here is, and I'm going to finish up with this now, is please be careful. And if you are having a hard decision when you're out riding in any kind of traffic as to whether you should or should not go, probably should not is the answer. So be careful about the decisions you make, because they can be deadly. Unfortunately, they were for Glenn. I just have no idea. We also have people that are driving in motor vehicles that are sometimes hostile towards cyclists. I don't know if it had anything to do with that. We don't have any details. So no charges have been made, and there's no information from the state police at this time. Last I checked, it was still under investigation. Just be careful, folks. That's all I can say. Please be careful, and make good judgment calls. And please don't stop cycling because of it. Because I know that some people go, well, that's it. I'm not going to ride my bike anymore. I'm done with that. But nah, don't do that. Don't do that. As a matter of fact, the next time you go for a ride, ride for Glenn. So, bike racing. I got to jump right over to bike racing right away. The Giro. Oh, my God. Every single Sunday that we would get to the point where there's going to be a rest day the next day, something monumental would happen in the Giro. The Giro was commanded from stage 9 on by a young Mexican, Isaac Del Toro, and he wore the pink jersey unexpectedly. It was one of those crazy things where he went away down the road in a break, and everybody kind of let him go, not thinking of anything. And before you know it, he was a minute and a half ahead of everyone. So he got to wear the pink jersey, and he continued to hold on to the pink jersey, even though there were like vicious attacks in the mountains against him, and he lost a little time here and there, but he was a stormtrooper. He was a tough guy, and but as we have come to find out, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It's bike racing. And it also matters how smart you are and how well you're following your team's plan. And I think what happened is somewhat tragic. But do you remember when Primoz Roglic and Vingegaard were battling against Pogacar on the Col de Gablier? Oh, it was Jumbo Visma versus the UAE, and the latter made a tactical error of having their man isolated. You know, maybe you shouldn't make that same tactical error again. Well, guess what? On that occasion, by giving out the wrong instructions to Pogacar, he ought to have let Roglic escape and then wait for his teammates in the next group. But longer term, you know, it ended up being a disaster for him. And letting Wout van Aert be in the stage 19 break with no one from UAE to cover potential GC moves, that's exactly what happened in this one. This is a classic textbook brilliant decision by Jumbo-Visma to make sure that they were going to win the Giro. They made the same thing happen again. I can't believe you can get away with that two times and no one's paying attention. I blame UAE Emirates. I blame them, and I also blame EF. They should have known better. They should have known better. And I still, to this moment, don't understand why they weren't on the race radios just screaming at these guys as they were letting the race slip away from them. So details are, and if you did not see these and haven't seen the highlights yet, and you don't want to spoiler alert time, the details are pretty obvious. We got three very strong riders. They're all together because two of them are the potential pink jersey or the potential winning jersey with only about 30 seconds separating them. The third rider, well, you know, he's like a minute and a half, almost 2 minutes behind them, but he's right there. And he's, you know, in the mix, and they're on stage 20 of 21 stages in a horrible mountain stage, one that other Giros have been won and lost on. So there's history, right? You do your history, you look at the history, you go, ooh, look, this is a place that you could either win or lose this race. So these two guys think that this is it, you know, and they basically, I got a thing from Johan Bruneel. He's a Belgian former professional road bicycle racer and former director sportif for UCI Pro Team, Radio Shack Nissan, U.S. Postal Service, and U.S.-based UCI Pro World Cycling Teams. So he makes a comment, and it says, when Carapaz, who was in second place, realized he wasn't going to leave Del Toro, who was in first place, he didn't care about anything else. And that's kind of what happened, is they were banging on each other, you know, going hard in the big climbs, and you know, the climb was going to turn to dirt eventually. I mean, it's just a classic race. It's just absolutely a classic stage. And they were, and then along comes Mr. Yates, and he attacks and gets reeled back in, and he attacks again, and he gets reeled back in. And so it looks like it's just going to be these three guys battling it out. And Yates is just, you know, oh, well, I'll do whatever I can do because it doesn't really matter. I'm going to get third place in this race and I'll be back a minute and a half or whatever it is. And then he attacks one more time and he leaves. And they let him leave. They did not chase him down. They were more concerned about each other and how they were going to finish one and two than they were about the guy who was in third place a long ways behind them. And they let him go. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. All of a sudden, he's drawn in a full minute of time. Okay, and now think about this. He was a minute and a half to close to 2 minutes behind. Now he's only a minute behind. And he's actually closing in really, really tight on second place. And, you know, first place is only a minute away. And he continues to just grind it out and grind it out and grind it out. Meanwhile, down the road, many, many, many miles away, there was a breakaway earlier in the day. And in that breakaway was Wout van Aert. Wout van Aert is a teammate of Sean Yates. Okay, you're starting to see how this is developing now. Well, van Aert is the diesel engine that you want waiting for you up the road so that when it comes time to get pulled in, you want Wout, because Wout will ride until he can't. And I've seen him do it a number of times. He is such a great team rider. He is the domestique's domestique. You know, we honor him because this guy will give everything for the team. He's so good at it. And yet he also wins classic road races too. He's very amazing and talented rider. So Wout's up the road. The brake is finally starting to fall apart that's up the road. So bit by bit, Yates is pulling in one rider after another. He's passing them. They're done. They're destroyed. They're off the back. And Yates just keeps this machine going and going and going and going and going. And eventually he meets up with Wout van Aert, who puts him on his wheel and rides himself to death as hard as he can to get the pace back up and hold on to him and draw him on towards the finish line. And the eventual deal was he won by 4 minutes. You can't make that up on the last day. The last day is a parade. It's into Rome. It goes around the Colosseum. It's an awesome race. If you get a chance, just go on to YouTube and check out the footage. And the beauty of the Giro is like no other race out there. The Vuelta, not so much. Tour de France, it's got some good stuff. It's got some classic stuff. But the Tour of Italy, the Giro d'Italia, is by far the premier of all of them. It's my favorite race, can you tell? I like this one more than anything else. So, they let him go. And it's like about the biggest mistake you could possibly make. And so during the climb, Isaac could have offered a little bit of help. That's what the UAE guys are. That's what they're saying. Actually, that's what the EF guys are saying. They feel that he was not putting enough effort in, and yet he was told, "Don't let Carapaz out of your sight. You got to stay with him." So all he was doing was what he was told to do, but he did not realize that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to see Sean. Simon Yates is like riding away from them and leaving them behind. And these two guys are mano-a-mano with each other, and they're not going anywhere. They're just not. They're losing time. If I were a director sportif and I was sitting in a team car, I would have been screaming at them. Just go. Don't worry about whether you're first or second. Just go. You guys got to pick up the pace because you're both going to get beaten. And they didn't do that. So it's always easy to make an analysis in hindsight, but you know what? That's what happened. And I'm telling you, I'm downstairs. I got the TV on. I'm jumping up and down. I'm going, he's gonna do this. I can't believe he's gonna do this, and they're gonna let him get away with it. It was just so perfect. It was so beautiful and beautifully executed. And the cool thing is that a few years ago, Simon Yates had kind of blown up on this climb at the end, and he lost the Giro because of it. So this time it was redemption time. It was really, really cool. So this is why I love bike racing. Bike racing is just such a fun, cool sport. There's a lot of strategy in it. A lot of people don't understand that because they just look at it, it's people riding their bikes. What's the big deal? It's a team sport, and it's a big time team sport. And we think of teams here in the U.S. as something with a ball, but this doesn't have anything to do with a ball. It's a bicycle, and it's a concerted effort with all of the participants on the team working with and for one another. Each of them has a particular detail that they're very, very good at, and this is how bike racing works. It's so much fun to watch. It's even more fun to be in, but those days are long behind me. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. But this is incredible. I mean, Del Toro is now he's part of Mexican folklore. He is, the folks in Mexico are just screaming and yelling for him, and they think he did a really great job. But anyway, that's it. But the only team that had a rider in the breakaway was Jumbo, and Yates had him to pull him in at the end. And, he didn't stay with him all the time. He just only stayed with him for a little while, but he definitely put out as much as he could until his legs would no longer do it, and then sent Simon on his way. Oh, so cool, so cool. So Carapaz attacked Del Toro countless times on the ascent, and the 21-year-old's reluctance to work then led Carapaz to taking the decision to not collaborate after the climb. And that's where the gap came in, because there was a climb and then a downhill and then another climb, And all they had to do was hammer it out together, and they could have drawn him back in because there's two versus one, but they didn't do that. So Simon Yates' performance was great. That's all I can say. You could not have written a better story than what happened here. It was so cool. It's cool. By the way, Simon has a twin brother who also races bikes. He races for a different team, but they're both very, very talented young men. And what was really cool was on the last stage of the Giro, which is basically it's the parade stage. It's pretty much been determined who's won the race at that point, especially when you put 4 minutes on all your competitors. That pretty much signs it off. That's it. It's a done deal. And but they ended up starting very, very interesting. They were in Rome, and that's where the finale of the Giro is. And they were in Rome. They actually started in the Vatican City, and to the point where they were actually there, and the Pope came out, the new Pope came out, and he blessed the fleet, and he, you know, he's like said all sorts of good things, and he was standing next to all of the jersey winners while, you know, they were, and you know, just was you're blessed by the Pope. I think that's a good thing. I'm not really sure. I'm not very religious, so I don't really understand, but I know some people get off on that sort of thing. But and then the actual Vatican police proceeded to guide them out of Vatican City and then onto the streets in Rome, and then at that point they picked up the regular Italian police to escort them as on their controlled start. And when they get done, they came back into Rome, and they had a circuit that they did. They went around and around and around, you know, sprinters finish, that sort of thing, kind of like they do in the Tour de France with the Champs-Élysées, except the background wasn't the Champs-Élysées, it was the Colosseum. And the footage is incredible. It was by far the coolest thing I've ever seen. If you watch bike racing for a long enough time and you start watching a lot of these classics like the Tour de France and the Giro d'Italia and the Vuelta a España, you're going to get like a travelogue of, you know, where you could go and see all these wonderful things. A lot of helicopter footage, but this was really cool. They were using drones in Rome yesterday, and the drones were flying right over the top of the peloton, and that was really cool. So you got this great camera angle, and it's like you're sitting in the back of the field, and you're like in the race. It's very, very, very cool. So the technology has gotten a lot better, and it's not like, you know, you see them come around some corner real fast and see all the riders go by and then you don't see them again for a while. Now they can follow them pretty much all the way. It was very cool. So that, just the fact that you'd see they did multiple laps around the Colosseum, and that was kind of a cool thing too. So anyway, chapeau to Simon Yates. Yeah, big deal. Big deal. He was incredibly emotionally out of his mind when he finished, because he knew what he had done, and, you know, he was just you know, tearing up, really. Bicycle racing is not, it's an entire experience. I just don't know how to say. I guess if you watch enough football in Europe, soccer, what we call it here in the United States, you'll see a lot of emotion with that too. But it's different in cycling. It's just different. That's all I can say. It is mentally and emotionally draining. And when they finally have a big day in the saddle. They win a stage. They've never won a stage before, whatever it is. These guys really, like, they really break down. It's you know, it's okay. That's a good thing. You know, they're so, so happy. And yet they're emotionally and physically drained. And I can tell you, they are definitely physically drained. So how does something like this happen? Boy, this is going to get studied for a long time. Both the teams that, you know, they owned the pink jersey, they owned second place. They both made classic mistakes. And Jumbo-Visma, they schooled them. They definitely schooled them. And I've seen them do this before. They are truly the smartest team out there. Their staff is great. They understand bike racing better than any team I've ever seen. Plus, they also have some talent. That sure helps a lot, too. But, you know, here it is. Here it is. I saw when Tadej Pogačar, who is just an absolutely fantastic and amazing rider, he got schooled by these guys a couple years ago. And, you know, you got the best rider in the world currently, and he gets beaten by team tactics because the team had a plan and they executed it and it went and it paid off for them. This is a big deal. This is bike racing. This is why I love bike racing, folks. It's a good thing. So if you didn't see the Giro this year, I would strongly suggest that you go back and watch highlights. There's all sorts of highlights on YouTube, regular YouTube, not have to pay for it, YouTube. All you need is an internet connection. And you can watch stage by stage the highlight reels from each stage. Well worth it. Well worth it. You will, if you're not hooked on bike racing after watching that, then I just don't know what to tell you, because it's good stuff. It's really, really good stuff. Some of the roads they were on, there are driveways that are wider out here than some of those roads that they were riding on. It's incredible. Just incredible. Just classic stuff. Epic, I would say. Epic for sure. So anyway, yeah, if you get a chance, go back and take a look at some of those, some of the footage. And we're going to keep our eyes on Isaac Del Toro, because Isaac Del Toro is an up and comer. This kid's strong. This kid is eventually will get smart. He wasn't so smart at the end of this, but there is also a real question of, you know, was he cooked? I mean, it's 20 days in the saddle, a lot of hard riding and being just constantly attacked because you're wearing the pink jersey. That can't be easy, for sure. It can't be. So he may have just had all the legs he could have had that day, and that's why he just stuck to Carapaz like glue, because he knew that if he could just keep him in sight, that he would still end up winning the Giro. But, you know, things change. Things happen. That's what it was. Anyway, good year this year for the Giro. 2025 Giro d'Italia. It definitely is a race to be remembered. Very, very cool. And anyway, let's see. What else do we have here on my list of things? We got some events coming up. I can mention, and Sunday, September 21st, there is the annual Southbridge Credit Union Tour of Opicum, the bike ride for land conservation. So you might want to join that nice ride on September 21st, spectacular scenic ride through several of their conservation properties up in Brimfield, Sturbridge, Monson, and surrounding towns. It's a it's really nice up there. It's right over our border here in Connecticut, so it has the same kind of character and flair of northeastern Connecticut as we have here too. So that might be something you might want to check out. And for those of you that are in the bicycle world and the industry, remember that Wednesday, June 25th, is Eurobike. Eurobike is the big bicycle show in Europe where you get to see and preview all the new stuff coming out for next year, as well as some of the current current equipment that's available. I've always wanted to go to a Eurobike. That would be a really funny thing. It's kind of a classic. But I've never been. But we want to keep our eyes on that. We've got some other rides coming up. When is that Thread City, race ride?
The Quiet Corner ride.
Yeah. I don't have a date here, and I meant to put it in here, and I.
It was July 27th.
July 27th is the Quiet Corner bicycle tour put on by our club, the Thread City Cyclers, and great roads. You know, you're up in northeastern Connecticut. It's pretty quiet up here. That's why we call it the Quiet Corner. And there's some just beautiful back roads that you'll ride on. Lots of scenery. Bring your legs, because it's not an easy ride by any means. It's not easy riding around here. It's hilly around here. So you're always going to be working a little bit harder. But anyway, you definitely need to come up and check out that ride. If you have not done it before or you want to know more about it, then you can just reach out to the Thread City Cyclers. They have a Facebook page and they also have a web page. And you can get information from them there, and they will also be up on Bike Ridge too. So that's another avenue that you can look at and check out the Quiet Corner. It's our favorite place to ride for sure. I can't wait to get out and ride again. That's going to be in a little bit. Anyway, I will keep you all filled in on the whole medical adventure that I'm going on here. And I'll mention to you again, listen to your body. Listen to your body. Your body will tell you things, especially if you've been on your bike for a long period of time. You definitely learn more and more about yourself and about your body than you would if you were in a sedentary type of atmosphere. So anyway, finishing points. Please be careful out there. Cars and trucks are deadly. Rest in peace, my friend and local cyclist, Glenn Newcomb. Tailwinds forever. So, did you watch the Giro? I hope you watched the Giro, because I'm very excited by it. It definitely was a major highlight this year. So, good stuff. And remember this little clip from our friends over at the League of American Bicycles. Bicycling is freedom. Life is better for everyone when more people ride bikes. The League is making biking an easier and safer option for more people, because when more people ride bikes, people are happier, healthier, and our communities are safer and friendlier. Not to mention, our planet is greener. Together, we can help more people know the joy of cycling. Pay it forward. Pass it on. I'll say it again. This will not be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, price of gas, and lack of places to safely ride your bike, and do your part. And hey, take the Pedal and Run Challenge. Consider parking your car or truck one day out of the week and just use your bicycle instead. Run your errands, go to the grocery store, go to, you know, work, whatever it is that you do, just use your bike. Forget that you have a car or a truck and just use your bike instead. You might just surprise yourself. So, the views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can feel free to comment down here below. And if you're listening to this on an audio file, you can just send me an email at bicycletalk@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you want to contribute information to the show, drop me an email. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS. Stores and whus.org. Thanks for listening. See you next week.